Now, we were talking a little bit earlier about the ATP Cup and the prices of the tickets, and it's priced some people out of actually turning up on this panel, Jack. But we've got a new era for Davis Cup and starts in Madrid tomorrow, and we're just all wondering how it's going to play out. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Maybe it's cheaper to jump on a plane and head off to Madrid, because there's a few tickets available for the Davis Cup. Certainly for Australia's clash, we're up against Colombia on Wednesday and then Belgium on Thursday. And being, I suppose, not the flavour of the month, Australia, we're on court three, not the main court, for this very experimental Davis Cup that's, you know, attracted enormous amounts of criticism, changing the format of this, what, 119 years of history and tradition is now being condensed into a week and a bit of in a neutral venue, you know, where you don't have the crowds, you know, really spurring on your team. It's going to be a very interesting concept because the promoter of the scheme, obviously, is the footballer, the former Barcelona footballer, and Gerard Piqué. And, you know, there's a lot of criticism that he's an outsider, that he's a marketeer, and there's been big promises that they're going to issue all this big prize money, they're going to pay the International Tennis Federation, you know, billions of dollars over the 25 years. So whether this format can generate that much interest and attract that much money is going to be a very interesting thing to watch. Leighton Hewitt's got a few doubts about it, but he's come around, he's landed, and of course dragged in Nick Kyrgios to play. So of course that will of course create a few headlines and controversy without him even picking up a racket. So let's see how the Aussies go.
How long will this Davis Cup format last, do you think, Jack? And how long has it been confirmed for?
Well, the final is on Sunday, November the 24th. So the actual format, as you know, is very condensed. There's a contract for it to go forward for the next couple of years to see how it's going to go. It could be that they've run out of money before then. Yep. Who knows? You know, it's not an inconsiderable amount of money to be bringing in 18 teams, global teams, with all the entourage and the dressing rooms and the setup and the courts and everything. It's quite a big project if you're not getting the bums on seats and you're relying on the TV revenue. So it's going to be up to whether, you know, viewers are going to watch it on television or not.
Yeah, I suppose that'll be the big thing, whether people turn up, whether they watch it on television. Yeah. What are you hearing over there? Has it got, you know, a lot of support at this stage?
Well, the players are very mixed about it because you've got Roger Federer and Alex Zverev not playing. Now, you could say that Switzerland didn't qualify, but both of those players are part of the teammate marketing company, and they are behind the promotion of the ATP Cup. So there's a little bit of politicking going on around which players are competing and which aren't, but they do have 11 of the top 20 male players competing, so they have more than half. But, you know, there's this issue of the ATP Cup will eventually the two formats merge to have two big competitions, very similar really in format, within just 6 or 7 weeks of each other really doesn't make sense. And certainly from a player's perspective at the end of the year, they're pretty tired by now and they're looking to kind of have a small break before they then recharge for the Australian Open.
Now, Sun Yang, Jacqueline, has been in the news here a lot. In fact, we've been getting stories every day in the paper. We don't like him and he doesn't like us. What's the story with his case?
Well, it was the case in the Court of Arbitration for Sport. The judges are saying they're going to hand down their ruling in January. But it's been a very interesting case because there were a lot of translation problems in the court. I've gone through the transcript, which is really interesting. And he was saying, he revealed that he was being tested 180 times, which is a large amount of tests, 63 of them in competition, 117 out of competition. And, of course, we know that he didn't like this blood test because he claimed that the officials didn't have the required identification. The big question mark is 60,000 tests have been conducted by this company using the same accreditation procedures. So are the judges going to say, well, we're going to rule out 60,000 tests and open ourselves up for scrutiny of every drug cheat that has been found guilty in the last 10 years? Or will Mac Horton perhaps get his gold medal from the World Championship 400 metre freestyle? Because if Sun Yang is rubbed out for more than 8 months, then Mac Horton will win not only the title, but quite a share of the prize money, about $40,000. So, you know, there's quite a lot at stake here, and Sun Yang interesting, he changed his testimony. He'd given earlier testimony that he had touched the vials of blood, and now he's saying that it was his doctor that picked up the vials of blood. Mm. And, of course, we know that they were smashed. His mum turned up, she was there, and so was Dennis Cottrell, of course, who is the Australian swim coach, who was Sun Yang's coach.
Yes.
So he had quite a lot of support there as well in the courtroom.
Yeah, great to see Dave Stanley doing his little bit for Australia-China relations too, which is fantastic. Man United, the Glazer brothers, they'd be a little bit disappointed they're missing the Champions League from last year, Jack.
Oh, it just hits the hip pocket, doesn't it? A cool $100 million Australian. The fact that they didn't get in the top four last season, didn't get in the Champions League, that is what they have said it has cost them in lost revenue, TV rights fees. It means they're being squeezed on their debt. That's gone up quite a bit, and that's because they're spending a lot of money on players. They're now up to about $500 million Australian dollars in debt, the club. Mm. Doesn't, you know, they don't seem to be still solvent. Because they, you know, obviously have big money coming in from the sponsors. But their revenues will be down this year. They're saying £580 million in revenue this year. But part of their good news is because they didn't make the Champions League final or to play in the Champions League, they don't have to pay all these bonuses to the players. And it saves them about 8% off their bottom line. So there were some big bonuses there for the players if they were going to make it, but they didn't.
Yeah. Well, we'd prefer them to make it. I know that as a Manchester United fan. Good on you, Jacqueline. We'll speak again next week.
Thanks, guys. See you then.